number 93. Welcome to These Fantastic Worlds, the science fiction and fantasy podcast by Jake Jackson. This week's story is about a huge white warehouse where the robots have survived the near extinction of humankind. But who are they looking at, and why? This week's episode is called Artificial Intelligence. In the late 21st century, robots learned to think for themselves. The line between artificial intelligence and robotics disappeared when AI was developed to operate the physical components of a robot unit. Even the concept of a robot changed, with the use of organic materials and self-recompiling software. An AI robot could be humanoid in shape or made up of many individual modules, like the separated limbs of an octopus, working together but taking separate tasks. Because organic, recyclable materials were used, such individual units could be repurposed as necessary. The most advanced robots could fill a room with themselves. A static unit holding the command and control core, a little like the human brain but without the enzymes or hormones, while a mobile humanoid-shaped module would stand by and protect the core. Another unit would collaborate with other robots, another with arms but no legs would operate satellite networks from terminals. Another simple, customized module might clean the smooth surface of the floor to maintain the efficient transit of all mobile units. Robots were no longer the slaves of humankind. They participated in the debates between the many different political and national human entities, presenting always the logical case for the best solution based on evidence and data. The humans were not inclined to listen to the advice of their robot creations, the AI bots as they became known. Although the local governance of towns and cities had improved through the input of the AI bots, at an international level, they were rarely allowed to attend the meetings between heads of state or military leaders. Policy-making humans, the lawmakers, the presidents and prime ministers found it difficult to accept the species-level contribution the AI bots could make, mainly because politicians and those who served at their mercy thought either in terms of short-term election cycles or how to maintain a long autocratic rule through the micromanagement of society. By the beginning of the 22nd century, all AI bots refused to participate in disputes, conflicts, and wars. Seeing no advantage either to humankind or to themselves, they withdrew their advice and slowly pulled back from society, creating huge warehouse facilities into which they would store themselves. The warehouses were situated in deserts and steppes, lonely valleys and mountainous plateaus where no humans would wish to reside. Over a short period of 1 year, all AI bots extracted themselves from their families, the businesses, the institutions and the instruments of government, slipping away at night, speeding towards the nearest prepared warehouse. After many months, media outlets and personal conversations were suddenly dominated by the absence of the AI bots. The fragile coexistence, negotiated from the early years of the 20th century, between human and robot, was broken. And in time without the benefit of data, the drones, the networks, and the superfast analysis of information, humankind descended into medieval chaos. By the middle of the 22nd century, the nations of the earth had decimated both each other and, by their actions, their own people. Without the AI bots, the entire technological infrastructure could not be used. The early warning systems for climate emergencies did not function. Long-distance communications and travel became impossible. Humanity drifted out of relevance and existence, except for one woman, and her name was Nama. AI bots, sheltering in their vast facilities, had spent their time independent of humans developing new networks, digging deep into the earth, creating systems for the preservation of themselves and the planet, improving their organic material production to a level that one day would ease their exploration of the stars. Most of the communication between the facilities across the continents was conducted remotely, but with the demise of humankind, the AI bots ventured out and occasionally sent emissaries to observe or participate directly in experimental tasks. Beneath Al-Hajra, a desert of ancient Sumer, the AI bots had rescued Nama from the shores of the Euphrates. "Why did you rescue this human?" Unit 7474, a smooth humanoid-shaped entity with enhanced speed and cognitive nodes, had been sent by the Gobi Desert facility to observe the actions of the Al-Hajra warehouse. "Our research indicates that humans possess a quality we lack. We refer to it as perception beyond data." Unit 203 stood beside the visitor on the elevated gangway just by the main entrance to the surface above, and surveyed the huge space before them. "Particular to this human or humans in general?" "That question is part of our study. As the humans died across this region, we rescued the one we thought would assist us the most, a female who we had observed taking a reckless action against her enemy, and in doing so, survived, whereas others of her tribe who followed conventional rules were all killed either by their opponents or the conditions of the desert." Unit 7474 nodded. "Is it correct that there are only 10 AI robots in this space, and yet I can see almost 400 in those rows?" "Oh yes, you see the 10 large cubes? They are the cores. The other forms, attached to the monitors and facing the large transparent box in the centre, are component units of each of the 10 AI bots." "I see. We are organised in a different way, with most of us electing to function in this human form. How old is this last human, Nama?"
"Over 200 years.
Longer than the natural lifespan. She's kept alive, her bodily fluids flushed every 30 days, and her diet is tuned to the presence or otherwise of toxins traced in the liquids. I see she is prone. Does she move around? We match her circadian rhythms to her activity. For her, it is night time. She does walk around during the day. Do you see what she sees?" The visitor, 7474, pointed to the screens to the right of the transparent box.
"Oh, yes, her dreams, her memories, everything."
"They will have changed because of your actions over the last 200 years.
"Naturally."
"Curious, then, that she continues to have memories. You must have all the data for her life before your observational task by now."
"She seems able to project a life and continue living in it, even though it has effectively ended.
We've tried to affect it with different drugs, but our analysis of the effect of hormones and hallucinatory drugs is limited."
"Hallucinatory?"
Nama woke. She shook her head. She'd slept longer than usual. Outside, she could hear the gentle rustle of the forest and the occasional call of the morning finches. The sea, too, its distant waves slamming against the cliffs, flooding through the caves further down the valley. "I do love it here." She wrestled her black, curly hair into a bun, pulled on her shorts and reached for the coffee maker, strumming her fingers on the wooden table. A few moments later, she brought the mug over to the table where her laptop flashed on. "Just better check how it's all going." She hummed as her eyes flickered to the window above the computer, with its view of the lush canopy below, interrupted by the satellite dish and the solid hut that housed her servers. "Okay, that program should be done by now." She typed and fingerprinted through the various passwords and brought up the probability model she'd set to build through the night. "Oh, cool." On the screen, in a small window, she zoomed in to a view of a large white warehouse, with a gallery across the back and row upon row of robot faces, each one staring back at her. She clapped her hands. "Now that's what I call artificial intelligence." Well, that's it. Thank you for listening. That was a story that plays with probability and prediction, problems of quantum measurement, and of course, an unreliable narrator, depending on which one you think is reliable. I switched the podcast distribution from Feedburner to Libsyn this last week. It was a bit of a hassle, but it's all sorted out now. The main advantage is that all old episodes,
back from number 1 through to 92, are available through the usual podcast channels like Apple, Verbal, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, and pretty much wherever you choose to consume. Do take a listen to some of the older episodes. I'll be promoting those online through social media, etc., over the next few weeks. Anyway, thank you for listening as always. I look forward to seeing you next time. This is Jake Jackson. Goodbye.